Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's say welcome to Rival Sons. Please welcome to Rock Bottom Podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to be here. We're doing that. I didn't realize this was in front of a large studio audience. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I want to thank everyone for coming and being so quiet.
Yeah, especially being very, very quiet. I've seen you once. You opened up for Aerosmith. I think it was in 2014. Here in Stockholm.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
It seems like you quickly got a love affair with Europe. You have played in Europe quite a lot. Were you influenced by like European bands growing up, like the Great British Classics, Zeppelin and the Purple?
Without a doubt. Yes.
What were your favorite bands starting out and growing up?
You ready?
I don't want to list all my favorite bands.
All of you, if you list one, you have to list all of them.
Yep.
I'm going to say we like the Royalty of Rock. If you have the biggest podcast in Sweden, I'm sure your listeners know who that is. They're a huge influence. I mean, it starts with groups like The Animals,
and it goes further back than that. You know,
I'm going with the. Stop. I'm going with the Royalty of Rock, like the British Invasion is where I was starting. We're not going to go back into the 30s and the 40s and the blues and all that.
But from the 60s.
Yeah, we're going like British.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, it starts with those bands coming through the Beatles and the Stones.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into Hendrix, who ironically is American, but was kind of, you know, blew up out of London and...
Yeah.
American bands like The Doors, I'm saying them because I just got a box of their 45s. Pink Floyd.
I would say, and we've said this before.
Cream, Yardbirds,
it's probably who you think we would be influenced by listening to us.
Mm-hmm. No surprises there?
No, it's all of...
Lots of surprises.
Lots
of surprises. There's a lot of other bands we're into. Lots of different styles we're into.
Such as?
Lots of jazz, lots of soul, classical music. It's I'm just as likely to throw on a Cream record as I am a Segovia record, as I am Ravi Shankar, as I am Monk, as I am Radiohead, as I am Tribe Called Quest, as I am whatever.
Cool. How did it all start out in Long Beach for you? I mean, was there like a thriving music scene or?
There was and is a very thriving music scene in Long Beach. And Scott was coming from Huntington Beach, just 20 minutes south.
Down the coast. There was a music scene there for a minute, but it wasn't having to do much with what I was doing really in the end, what exploded out of there. I was more enamored with what was happening in Long Beach.
Anyway. Mm-hmm.
And so Long Beach had a pretty thriving and healthy music scene. It's interesting because Long Beach is about 25 minutes, 30 minutes outside of Los Angeles proper. But it gets lumped in with L.A. And people, when we first got started, they were trying to call us an L.A. band. But we're just not. We're just not L.A. guys. And Long Beach was a little bit different because it's just far enough outside of L.A., where it's its own thing. So we always
nobody from Long Beach wants to be considered an LA band.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that so?
It's a thing.
It's kind of like I always say that Long Beach is the Brooklyn of Los Angeles.
Okay.
So it's right there, but it's its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And its own festivals.
Great festivals.
Yeah.
Great festivals. Great street scenes and parties.
Yeah, the city gets behind music very much, very much.
So what did you set out to accomplish? Did you see a gap to fill in the music scene?
Yeah, I think very much so. Yeah, this was 10 years ago for us. So there was like a few rock and roll bands springing up that weren't like alternative or indie or shoegaze or emo or all this bullshit. Like, I mean, and I like a lot of these types of styles in these bands, but there wasn't any like real proper rock and roll at the time. A couple of records had just come out that were like brand new when we started, and that would be like Wolf Mother sprung up, their EP,
mm-hmm.
their Dimensions EP, which was super crazily hip. Sounded really, really good and fresh for the time. And Jet had also put a record out, Get Born, that was really, really good. And coincidentally, both of those were produced by the great producer, Dave Sardi.
But, and both of them Australian, right?
Both are also from Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like, what the hell's going on here? They weren't even connected to each other.
Right.
But there wasn't that much other, like, thing. There wasn't many things reflecting real kind of rock and roll ethos, you know?
And by that time, like, the Black Crowes, they weren't playing together. You know, it wasn't working out for them. So mm-hmm. you weren't getting any more of that.
And Lenny Kravitz was still making records here and there, but it felt slightly less relevant. And even he was taking a turn at the moment and becoming a little more modern, right? I mean, remember mm-hmm. it was like that Five record or whatever. I think that's what it was. And it got real modern sounding for a second.
I think experimenting, because particularly Lenny Kravitz, he's been able to wear so many different hats.
Yeah.
Rock and roll, for sure. And I think he's a guy that doesn't get his due. I feel like he doesn't get the recognition for towing the line for so many years. And when we were able to play with him recently, going back over his catalog, you know, huge fan.
Anyway, there was I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off.
Just looking at it and thinking, this guy's been towing the line for this whole time. And big ups.
Mm-hmm.
There was a gap
that we were filling. He split his pants when he played Stockholm last summer. Yeah. And his dick fell out.
Yeah.
You should Google the pictures.
Oh, that was in Stockholm.
Yeah. Mm. For sure. Your latest album was Hollow Bones, right? 2016. And then there's Feral Roots coming out now.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about it? How have you developed or have you between these albums?
I think we've definitely developed. Coming off of the heels of that last record of Hollow Bones, we went out and we toured with Sabbath for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really busy doing that. And then we had to follow up and tour, finally headline a tour to promote Hollow Bones. And basically after that, we got started with writing the Feral Roots record. And I live out in Tennessee. Scott still lives back in Huntington Beach. We took 6 to 8 months, and we took time off from touring.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to just give ourselves some time to decompress, start over. And we went out, I guess, to kick things off. We went down for a week down into the southern Tennessee woods and to spend a week alone and flesh things out and philosophized and talked about what sort of record we wanted to make.
So no playing, just, you know, out and discussing?
No. We brought instruments to write.
We went down there to play, but we also talked about the record. We were doing
basically
everything.
Laying down the plans.
Yeah, all that stuff.
How do you approach a new album? Are all the songs, they're not finished, or do you all come in with ideas, or do you allow yourself to develop them once you're in the studio?
We sketch the ideas out pretty well. And when we, on this record particularly, when we brought them to everybody, they were halfway sketched out pretty good. But there's got to be some level of leeway when we get with our producer and the rest of the guys to let it like breathe and develop with other musicians, people we trust, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did any of the songs on the new album like take another route once you started recording it and end up with
specifically, I'd say there's a track called Stood By Me on the record that started out as one thing and became a whole different thing when we recorded it at Muscle Shoals.
Yeah, that's right.
We ended up using the room and the feeling there and just kind of really, it became something totally new that we're really happy with.
How do you feel you have progressed and developed as a band from, I mean, you've been around for like 10 years?
10 years. Yeah. I think from the beginning, we were really finding our way for the first couple of records. And it's something kind of turned the corner where we had been together for a couple of years, probably right around Head Down. We, in my opinion, we sort of growing into our own thing. And then taking big risks and going for a lot of different, a lot of different angles on what our catalog was going to be like and what our sound was going to be. And then I think that with the following record with Great Western Valkyrie, we zoned it in a little bit more. Like here, okay, so now we're doing this. And then by the time we went to Hollow Bones, we blew it back out and just threw out a bunch of other stuff. But I think the progression has been really natural. It's been really very organic because we do what we're compelled to do. Well, I feel like doing this. Okay, well, I feel like doing this, so we'll work it out. And I think that we're able to straddle between straight up rock and roll into soul, into some psychedelic, into ballads, and you know, and I think that the growth has been very organic. And if you listen to our records back to back, I think you can hear the lineage.
I feel like the band is this band is capable of making a record every 2 months.
Really?
Oh yeah.
There's like such an amalgamation of influences and styles and things we want to accomplish and a real hunger for writing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I think we can get really creative quite often.
Yeah. Do you write while you're on tour?
Yeah, I think you write when you feel like writing. I tend to write for a little bit just about every day. And I think that's more just when you get ideas, you write them down. Or you sing them into your phone. Or you grab a guitar and you play it into your phone. And then you go back through and you listen to the, you know, once a week or so, you listen to all of the ideas that you've come up with. Mm-hmm. And that was in large part a lot of our collaborative efforts, sending each other ideas. Okay, I'm working on this thing. What do you got? Do you know? Do you, are you feeling this? Maybe throw something onto this. So we would do that back and forth in writing.
So what was like to start out as a band in an era when album sales were not so great and the support from radio and media were kind of poor? I mean, how did you have like a market strategy, or did you just leave that to other people, or how did you get such a big following? And that happened pretty quickly for you.
We were lucky. We signed to a UK label named Earache.
Which is like a death metal.
Yeah, and they had built up like a really loyal following in the metal world because they put
how
out
these. How come you ended up there?
I think they had done really well with their catalog and those kinds of artists. And I think their reach got long enough and wide enough, and they got smart enough and made enough money to go, you know what, we should try to branch out and see how it goes.
And at that time, we were the first.
We were the first
rock band that wasn't metal or death metal.
Yeah,
I know. Wasn't that scary for you too?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We thought the first few times that they like propositioned us for a deal I thought they were a joke.
Yeah.
I thought they were like, you know, guys that ran a metal label going like, this is hilarious. Look, I'm going to offer these guys a record deal. This
like a Spinal Tap moment?
Yeah, like let's offer this blues rocky, like, you know, like fuzzy rock band a record deal and see if we can get them to sign with us as a joke. I don't know, because to me that seems like it would be funny if I owned a death metal label.
Right. They pursued us for long enough and let us know that they were serious about it. And at that time, they hadn't set up the business model that they have now. With promoting rock bands or...
I didn't really answer the question.
Or rock and roll bands.
I should answer the question that you actually asked, that why did we get presents? Because this metal label actually had a reach on all these publications, and immediately there was... That's really specifically why.
Like the core media.
They had like in UK media and European media, they had outlets already waiting for them. So when they serviced our record, it immediately went out to all these people. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of such... There was so much audacity that they were putting out a rock and roll band that a lot of these metal publications took it immediately, that some of these more mainstream, like Classic Rock Magazine and other ones too, just took it immediately. And we made a good record.
Yeah.
That's why it worked, you know, because there was audacity behind it. There was reach with the label. We made a good record. It just took really quick. I think that's what happened.
So what's your driving force now to go forward and still tour as much as you still do? Don't you ever get tired?
You get tired. I think that there are a couple of different things couple of different ways to answer that. The more that we do this, the larger the fan base grows. The larger the fan base grows, the more opportunities we have to make records. It's not really a situation where you can get bored or over it. We try to keep each other inspired and to push each other as much as possible. And so there are so many possibilities. You know, people ask you to come out and tour with them, you know, like legends. So you get great things like that. And then you get an opportunity to make another record. So then you go back into the laboratory and then we write and we do all of these things and we get to find out who we are. There's so much to do. There's so much to do that you don't get bored. Like it seems like for me, I just feel that we're on a journey. We're going somewhere and we're constantly going up a little bit.
So you started out basically as a band long term.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
You toured with a lot of like super legends, Black Sabbath and Aerosmith and I think Judas Priest and AC/DC. Mm-hmm.
Our first tour through the UK was with Judas Priest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting.
And that was just to mention a few. How was that? I mean...
Well, that first tour, you know, we were talking about, we first get here and we're in kind of in the metal world because that label that we were on, they were introducing us to all of these metal outlets, even though we were playing rock and roll music. Understanding who the metal audience was and getting to know them was a great education to see how loyal and supportive they are of each other and how great they treat the bands. It was just incredible.
Did you ever get starstruck when you started out and you started touring with some giants?
Still get starstruck. I think less a little bit now, but still totally, yeah. I still meet people. We've been talking about recently a lot, meeting Jimmy Page at one of our shows. It's pretty hard to not get a little starstruck when you see these people that wrote the soundtrack of your life.
Of course.
It was fun meeting Eric Burdon at an award show and Greg Allman. And there's just so many. I met Brian May that night. That was amazing. Billy Gibbons, Chef Beck. These people, for me, get a little starstruck.
Cool. Tony Iommi.
Yeah. Yeah, the Sabbath guys, absolutely. What's even weirder, though, is when you become comfortable and friendly with them, and then that starstruck thing kind of goes away, and you have to remind yourself, oh, my God, this person isn't just my friend.
This was someone that was on the back of my denim jacket.
That's, yeah, that's actually fucking Tony Iommi. Not my friend Tony. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you get. I still get starstruck. It depends on the person. It depends on the situation, but you have those moments where, oh, shit. This is actually how.
I'll tell you what we don't do. Probably act foolish or act too starstruck. And there's it's specific because you find how, even at our at the level we operate on and where we are when you meet fans, big, big fans, people that have tattoos on their body of us or our goddamn faces on them. It's bizarre. It's unbelievable. You know, and they've been to every show and they've been, have every regular super fans. Some of these people, and God bless them, it's really awkward. And I get it, because I'm a fan too.
Uh-huh.
But when that awkwardness happens, it's really, you feel bad. It's a little off-putting. And then you can't have any kind of conversation. You can't really be anything. So we just have to be that, you know? It's almost like a TV screen. So, like, you can just look at me like I'm on a screen then. I am not that person. I'm a totally normal person with my friends. I have children. We're normal people. So, but to you, I'm something else. So we don't want to act like that.
Any of you, if there are any fans listening to this podcast and you feel nervous when you approach us, there you go. Feel more nervous. Keep it together.
Yeah.
Keep it together. And yeah. Don't be foolish. No, I totally get it. And, you know, so does Scott.
You get
excited. I get excited.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing, though. Not getting too jaded.
Yeah.
Yeah. To still get excited. We always finish off with the cringe song. And that is a song that you're kind of embarrassed to like. And something your fans would go, what the fuck?
Does okay, that yeah. We have 100 of those.
Yeah. I have.
Bring it.
For me, I have no shame. And I think Scott's the same way.
Uh-uh.
No shame. Whatever I like, I like. And if you think it's corny, then fuck you.
We write ourselves a merit of excuse, like we're allowed to like whatever we want because we can see the quality in songwriting, we can see the quality in a good hook, we can see that stuff counts. So probably many of your fans are going to go, I don't like pop, or I don't like country, or I don't like, there's so many things, like I don't, you know, fuck these like pop stars. To me, I'm hearing the pop radio, which would be most of the cringier shit, and going, it's cringy, but that's a magic hook, you know what I mean? Like even something like what was the big Adele song?
Rolling
Hello?
In the Deep. Oh, Hello.
I mean, that would be cringy, right?
Yeah.
I wish I wrote Hello. I listen to that song and
it's
I'm
brilliant.
Like, fuck that performance and that hook. That's fucking huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. We're also 80s junkies.
Oh, so, well, I mean, we're music junkies.
All of the new wave
stuff from the 80s, like
Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Cyndi Lauper, Go Go's, Vacation.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. The Bangles, Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Yankovic.
Yeah.
That's cringy for sure.
Yeah. Weird Al. Just all of it. Like I like what I like. Lady in Red. Chris DeBarge.
A few people have mentioned that one before.
Simply Red? No.
Lady in Red.
Lady in Red.
Is dancing with
yeah.
Cheek to cheek.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Because it's like I hear a song like that. It reminds me of holding hands with the girl, like my first French kiss at the roller rink, like all of that stuff.
Aww.
It all goes in there. Take it. Try to shoot me down. I only become more powerful. I love all of it. I love the whole ABBA catalog, the whole thing.
Yeah.
All of it.
We've been rocking all of the 80s stuff. Like, I've been rocking that at home, like, with the kids. Like, Level 42 and like, what are some of the other 80s hits?
Thomas Dolby.
Always something there to remind. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thomas Dolby, She Blinded Me with Science. Oingo Boingo. Weird Science.
I don't know what. I don't know how. Let's think of something really cringe worthy though. Those are really good.
Fly to Me with Science is kind of cringy, though.
Really?
Oh, that song is crap.
Thomas Dolby is
that
amazing.
It is sophisticated pop music writing.
Also,
it's great.
I mean,
hook
I'm just
after
stupid
great
on this.
I will also invite everybody listening and yourself to put that shit on a good system. That is a serious recording.
Oh, yeah.
Like where the bass frequency is, that shit sounds really good.
I have to go home and listen to that.
Let's see. Cringy.
We've done pretty good. Cyndi Lauper Girls is one of fun. That could be really cringy to people that like rock and roll.
But that is so good.
You know,
that
you hear it.
Yeah.
I know.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having us.
Best of luck with everything.
Thank you. The pleasure is ours.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.